Lake City and KSL FM HD2 Salt Lake City Midvale. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. The clock is at zero, and another Ute game is in the books.
On second down and nine, it's the eighth play of the drop. Off the play fake. Bones to the end zone. All alone. Big play, Vele.
Arizona State was so worried about the sweep in the RPO, the tunnel screen to the offense's right, defense's left. They didn't see Bailey in the back of the end zone running a corner route wide open.
Carson Barnes well protected. Right in the back line with another touchdown grab. That's two for Devon Bailey. As the Utes drop eight, here comes Salt Lake City. Connor O'Toole. So after just missing from the left hash on the previous possession, this one a bit shorter, 30 yards for Cole Becker to push it back to a 14-point advantage. This one right down the middle. This Utah offense looking to go into the half with some added cushion. Top of his drop, Barnes lets it go. Back shoulder, end zone, and high point in the football, Munir McClain. His first touchdown deep in the opening half.
Well, McClain wanted this more than Roe Torrance, the defensive back.
And here they are down 24-3 on defense as Jaquindon Jackson breaks through to daylight. Jackson to the 10. Jaquindon Jackson with a house call.
And Jaquindon is still down on the field. But that's Utah football right there in a nutshell. Play stingy defense and run the football. You see Jackson is in some pain as well.
Third and goal from the 2 on the boot. Barnes, a career best. Fourth touchdown toss to put it out of reach. Landon King will never forget this Saturday at Rice-Eccles Stadium. His third touchdown reception of the season.
All the reaction, the post-game interviews, and your phone calls. The Ute Postgame Show, presented by Zions Bank, begins now on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome on into the Ute Postgame Show as number 18, Utah, takes down Arizona State. Just like we talked about in the pregame show, Christian, 55-3. Lloyd Cole here with you. Christian Cox along my side, former Ute defensive end. And Christian, I think that thing was pretty much over once it was about 14-3. It was sayonara.
I think so. I think it was well put to bed about 14-3. I think you said it was reverse of the Oregon game. So.
Yeah, reverse of the Oregon game. That thing, I mean, it was they had that thing in hand. Welcome on in, by the way. If you're, I would assume that game's been over for probably about a half hour, so you're probably on your way home. You can always, of course, listen to us on the KSL Sports app. Feel free to call in if you'd like. 801-855-340-ZONE. Did I just mess that up?
I think you're the ultimate producer. You've been producing this show. You've been here for 20 years, Lloyd.
801-575-ZONE.
575-ZONE.
Okay, Freudian slip. How does this happen?
Totally
you've run the radio for... You've been doing this.
I'm a little rusty.
That's fine.
I was out of town until Thursday.
Okay. Now we're
so 801-575-ZONE. You'd like to call in, react... feel free. 801-575-9663.
Is it okay to swear on air? I think
it is,
right?
No, you cannot.
Scotty, right?
No,
I can swearing. Swear.
Nope,
Scotty,
won't do
Scotty
it.
Told me I could
won't
swear
do
on
it.
Air. Okay.
Thank
good.
Goodness
okay.
Scotty's not listening to me because he's
okay,
doing
good.
The Utah State post or pregame show right over there on 1280. So
I know he
thank
is. I'm just teasing.
Listening.
I'm just putting everybody a little on edge over here.
But
that was a classic whooping, is what I would say, is a beatdown in terms of 55-3. What an insane game. Keep going, Lloyd. But I think when you hold an offense to 83 total yards, or a defense holds a Pac-12 offense to 83 total yards, I think that's pretty good.
Christian, I'm actually got that pointed out right here. 513 total yards to 83.
I think that
that's your story right there.
There you go. I don't think there's much more to cover. 500 to 83. I think the fact they even scored 3 points is a miracle. Utah left some 3 points on the board and maybe four other points. But overall, you know, there's a lot we'll get into. But Jake Conover, former BYU transfer, kid from Arizona, went back home. Bourget ended up getting hurt early in the game.
About two drives in.
But let's talk about his stats. Three completions for a negative 1 yard. A quarterback rating of 48. So ended up getting hurt on a Jonah Ellis sack to start the game. Utah came up with what we talked about. They had four sacks in the game, were creating havoc, created only one turnover is what it looked like. And, you know, Utah scored 3 points off of it, but or Arizona off of that. But overall, you know, what a solid defensive performance. I don't know a defense. Obviously, Oregon exposed the defense, and last week was very painful. But this has been a common theme with almost every single running attack against Utah. They held them to 43 total yards. Everybody they faced except for Oregon, they've really manhandled. And you hold a team under 100 yards? I've never seen that. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Well, and I would say their stronghold on the as far as being probably the best team in the country, one at least one of the best teams in the country on third downs, was pretty good. I mean, they were one. Arizona State was 1 of 15, and that defense, they had them always typically in long and third and long, which is that's their bread and butter. That's where they keep it. And it was a complete domination by that Utah defense.
If you look at 1 of 15 on third down, like that's absurd. And again, Florida, they were 1 for 13 on third down. They ended up scoring a touchdown on fourth down on a fade play. Obviously, we're going to talk about all of the scores and the offense getting going. Bryson Barnes set a record for himself, had four touchdowns thrown, ended up going 19 for 28 for 161. But he did some good things with his feet. Obviously, 7 rushes for 56 yards. But overall, you saw some explosives. You saw Jaquindon Jackson explode through the line. I think we talked about this in the pregame. Can Utah's offensive line create some gaps where there's enough space for Jaquindon or Jalen Glover? And in this case, Nate Johnson, who had 2 rushes for 79 yards, a 59-yard touchdown. You hadn't seen him in a long time. But overall, the offensive line created some holes, opened up the offense a bit, but a complete team win for Utah. You got some twos and threes in there in the back half of the game. I was live there with my two kids. It was a fun environment. It looked like the defense just put the clamps down everywhere. They're flying around, setting the tone right from the beginning, and they fulfilled the mission just like Witt said. Don't let Oregon beat them twice, and Utah came out to play. And you can go read this stat line. You just go down the line, and I'll let you do that, Lloyd. You know, they just were so effective everywhere, whether it's holding them to 40 yards passing, 43 yards rushing, no real turnovers, 1 for 2 on fourth down for Utah, held Arizona State 1 for 4. Here's a crazy stat for you, Lloyd. Utah had 77 total plays on offense. Total plays for Arizona State, only 58. Time of possession way in Utah's favor. So it really is a video game type scenario. And it also leads you to believe, how did Arizona State have Penix Jr. on the ropes, 2 interceptions, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and almost pulled it off against Washington? So the question is Arizona State that banged up that you know, Bourget is that dynamic that he kept them in the game because that was the difference? Or is Washington not that good? I guess we're going to find out.
We are going to find out because these two are going to have to play each other. But the thing that I was telling you earlier, I did not realize that, you know, that offensive line for Arizona State was as thin as they were. I mean, I heard on the broadcast they only had 6 scholarship players on that offensive line. Now, that's thin.
Yeah,
I don't know. I would say that's about as thin as you, probably about as thin as you get. Like, and it was, you know, I'll tell you what, Jonah Ellis, he's so good. His jump off the ball. What did he finish with? How many sacks did he finish with?
I think he ended up having 2.
He ended up having 2.
Connor O'Toole had 1. I had marked down.
They had 4
Jonah
total.
Had 1.
1.5. 1.5 for
they
Jonah.
Shared 1. Yeah.
And his jump on the ball is so just, it's like he shoots out of a cannon.
I honestly, we should break down his tape. He does, he has such explosive, he's a speed to bull guy, but more of a speed rusher, right?
Right.
His father was a bull rush guy. So when I say bull rush, you go, you work the outside third or the inside third, and you just use your strength to push him back into the quarterback. He does, he sets him up. He explodes out. He does a counter step up, spin underneath move. He's great with his hands where he can dip his shoulders and just move the hands of that tackle and just, they don't even touch him, and he gets off 2.5 seconds right to the quarterback. Micah Parsons for the Dallas Cowboys, he's a little shorter, but you saw him on Sunday had 2 sacks under 2.5 seconds or less. That means the tackle whiffs. And a lot of the times, Jonah Ellis is making these tackles look silly. What was concerning was last week was Connor O'Toole, Van Fillinger, and Jonah Ellis just got hemmed up by Oregon.
Right.
And I think, listen.
And by the way, we talked about that. Like, I think that was, it was Bo Nix that took him out of that game. I don't know how much it was the offensive line, because he got it out quick. That was the game plan. But don't give them a chance to get out to you.
But that's where it's perfect. And we said, hey, will Arizona State try to do it fast? They tried to go fast to Borgay. That's why he completed 3 passes for -1 yards. The Zaviah Vaughn came up and made some big hits. Tone was set right.
That
from
hit
the,
where he took that guy's leg out in, awesome. I think it was on the first drive.
Yeah,
when they went 3 and out
play.
Right away.
Yeah,
it was.
Tone was set. Utah goes down, scores real quick. Devon Vaile's first touchdown, I think, caught. This year, which is crazy to me. Bryson Barnes led the offense down 2 straight drives, quick 3 and out. If you look at it. Utah just came out ready to play. And, I think they went into a halftime lead at 24-3, and second half was the same thing. Just put the pedal to the metal. You know, when you go 14-10-10, and then in the fourth quarter, you won the fourth quarter, you put up 21 points to make them look silly. That's, Witt will look at that and say, this is the ultimate game. Let's put it in a box. I love the response.
Right.
Now we get to go play the number 3 team in the country who's undefeated and play in Seattle, which, they're going to be the underdog, which Utah loves to be the underdog and on the road. And this game in particular, I get it. Only six scholarship offensive linemen. But we watched that UW game, and the fact that UW didn't score, didn't throw any touchdowns, and this defense from Arizona State was so vaunted and strong. Utah just made him look silly, and I get it. Borgay was the part of that reasons is he could get some drives going, and 3 and out after 3 and out, that's when you go 1 for 15 and creating turnovers. It was a fun day at Rice-Eccles. It was a great energy. And this is how great was that atmosphere, by the way, with the blackout? It was great. It was just a blackout game in the middle of the day.
Always weird.
But I will say there is something to the black uniforms. I think the records, they had
them ready to go. And it's like, well, we need a night game, and it just wasn't coming. I mean, we have these uniforms here.
Run game 9.
We got to use these.
It's like, okay, we only have one more home game against a black team in Colorado who's probably wear white on Thanksgiving. But, atmosphere was awesome. Perfect day. It was like 55 or 60 degrees. It was actually hot. Everyone's dressed in black. But I think as you look at this season, I will classify – the Oregon loss is a microcosm. I think what's a more painful loss, and it's hindsight's 2020, is, you're trying to experiment with Nate Johnson early against Oregon State. Oregon's the best team I've seen in person in college in a long time. This Utah team is actually really, really good. And going 7-2, you pick yourself up. You're 1-0 in the third section of the show. So can you be 2-0 against a top 5 team in Washington? And that's what's interesting is that you play the games, and Utah loves to be in that position of underdog, and be watching closely USC, UW tonight. And Utah's hopes to potentially get back to a Pac-12 championship are still alive. And I think offensively you saw some balance, and the defense is just – this is a special defense. And I think what's neat about it is you get this same defense – next year, they're coming back. So
that is scary to think that they're going to have going into the Big 12, their first year in the Big 12, they're going to have this defense, which everybody knows the Big 12, nobody plays defense in the Big 12. They're going to be seeing something that they're not used to seeing.
I think Jatravis Broughton's the only guy who's graduating, if I'm not mistaken, or Miles Battle.
I think you're right.
I think it's only one corner. Everyone else is coming back. I didn't realize Jaquindon Jackson's only a sophomore, so this is still a fairly young Utah team, and you know, let's see what they can do. You're 7-2. You put it on Arizona State like you should have. You scored way more points than we expected, and maybe the offense is finally clicking. But playing at home at Rice-Eccles and with this defense, Utah's pretty good.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, because the offense played so well against USC, then they, you know, there's nothing they could do against Oregon.
Yeah,
Oregon has a much better defense.
Way aggressive,
has a good defense. They weren't used to it. They were fast. Dan Lanning is building something really nice
special,
there
elite,
in Eugene.
Yeah.
And so, but this is a 7-2 Utah team. And I think you're right. Like, this is a really good Utah team. I don't even know if I don't think it would have mattered if you had a healthy Cam Rising against Oregon. It'd be closer. Don't get me wrong, but I still don't know if you're even beating Oregon.
I don't disagree with you. I kind of want to leave that horrible game that we broke down forever last week, but it genuinely, the trenches, we said this in the pregame, where there's been a gap on this year has been the offensive line. The offensive line hasn't opened up gaps for the running backs to have some big spaces and to be able to bust off some big runs. Today you saw a big run from Jaquindon Jackson of 54 yards. You saw a big run from Nate Johnson of 59 yards. Untouched quarterback, untouched running back. That's because of the offensive line and the scheme. Against Oregon, you were controlled on defense and offense. And if Utah wants to keep, you know, plugging away and do something special, well, how do you redeem your season? You go beat an undefeated Washington team. And I don't think they're as physical as Oregon. If I go back and watch the tape against UW and Oregon, Oregon actually blew it. They went 1-for-4 on fourth downs. They didn't punt with 2.5 minutes to go. They gave Penix Jr., who didn't play very, very well, like they outgained him by 150 yards.
Right.
They should have punted and let their defense win it, and they got aggressive and didn't. So it's one of those woulda, shoulda, couldas. Their season's not over, but this is where I really don't know how good Washington really is. I really don't know. I know Penix Jr. is lights out. He's injured. He's banged up. He's not the same. He's not been playing awesome. He's a Heisman contender. And Washington in Seattle is always a tough matchup. I don't know if Utah's won in Seattle in the time in the Pac-12. I don't remember it.
I think they had one within
Zach
the last
Moss,
3 years.
Zach Moss and Tyler Huntley went up there and did get
2019?
Yep. Yep, okay. Yep, that's right. But since then, they've lost him in the Pac-12 championships. They've lost some heartbreakers at home, so it's going to be a fun matchup. And the little engine that could in my soul says that I think this might be a little closer matchup than the national media may make it out to be. I think Utah might have a real sneaky chance to go on the road and pull an upset and beat UW.
Well, and Arizona State may have laid a little bit of a blueprint how to at least maybe keep that one a little bit close at UW. So let's hear from Kyle Whittingham, who talked with the media following Utah's 55-3 win over Arizona State. Here's Coach Witt.
All right, great response by our guys after, you know, a disappointing week last week. Never want to let a team beat you twice or be hung over for the next game, and our guys responded. And so it was great to see the way they played, the passion, the energy. You know, team effort. You can't really single out one aspect. I mean, the defense was incredible. Less than 100 yards total low, 3 points, 5 or 6, 7 first downs. So incredible numbers on D. Offense, 500 plus yards, 55 points. And, you know, there's a team that just beat Washington State last week. So great to see our guys respond. Like I said, controlled the clock. 36 minutes and change to 23 and change. Third downs, we give up 2 of 16 on D. I mean, we've been doing that all year long. The defense has been outstanding on third down. So many positives in the game. Bryson Barnes played exceptionally well. Jaquindon Jackson, Jalen Glover, Devon Vele, the entire offensive line, Money Parks. I mean, there's so many really good performances for this game. So we'll enjoy it. And got our 7th win, sitting here at 7-2. And heading to Seattle next week, playing a really good Husky team. And we'll see what we'll take it from there. So, questions?
I know you always like to establish the run game.
But always.
How important was it to get Bryson Barnes to get all those completions?
That was great, too. I mean, and that's what opens up that for Bryson is the run game. We're running the ball efficiently and effectively. Then, you know, that makes the safeties come down and everything tightens up, and then we just throw the ball, and it's usually wide open. Like you saw, Devon Bailey had a big first half, kind of quiet in the second half, but had a big first half. So, when we run it well and the opponent doesn't, that's our formula for success. That's what we hang our hat on right there.
Doing so well to get to 350 rushing yards?
Well, they were just playing, they were in sync, playing physical, knocking people off the ball, missed very few assignments. I'll have to watch the tape, you know, get exactly what transpired assignment-wise, but just as the game was going on, you could see that they were fitting up the run game and getting movement, and that's what it takes.
What specifically did you see your guys doing maybe Monday and into Tuesday in terms of not letting yourself get beat twice by the same team?
Well, putting it behind them quickly. We talked about that in the team meeting on Monday, that, hey, that's, you got to flush that right now. Right now, it's out of our system. Learn from it. You don't just ignore it. You got to learn from it. But they bought into that, came out, and had a really good session on Monday. Now, we don't do a whole lot on Monday. It's more walkthrough and introduction stuff. But you could tell the attitude and the mindset was right. And all through practice, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, outstanding practices, focus, concentration. And so they prepared the right way.
Did any of the veteran guys or captains step up and speak in that regard?
No, but I appealed to the captains and leadership, saying now's when we need you. You know, that's exactly when you need your leadership to step up and manifest, is when things are tough. You know, when things are going good, you know, everything's going good. So, but when things get a little bit dicey and a little tough, that's when the leadership really needs to step up and take charge. And they did. They answered the bell.
Kyle Charlie scores at the end of the game. Was that kind of the plan, or was it just kind of a breakdown on their defense?
Was it the plan for us to score?
Yeah.
We're just trying to run the clock out. I can't tell the kid to fall down. I mean, and I don't think their head coach would like that either. I mean, I thought we shut things down in the fourth quarter. I don't know if we even threw a pass in the fourth quarter, milked the clock all the way down. So we weren't certainly trying to pour it on. That's not our style. That's not who we are. But it was a good run by Charlie. And so, good for him. Yeah, we had them on their heels a little bit. You know, we haven't shown that a bunch this year, and they seemed to not handle it very well. So we kept at it. Sometimes the altitude jumps on teams here, and that could have been a part of it as well. But we certainly got a lot of mileage out of that today. That was a big part of our offensive success.
We saw Smith Snowden in this game.
Yeah.
Was there something at practice that led to him getting time on the field?
Yeah, he just keeps getting better and better. Now, he was set back by an injury. It was about a month where he was out and not available. But since he's been back for a few weeks now, probably 3 or 4 weeks now, he's been a special team staple for us and playing on a lot of the special teams, and had progressed so much in practice that we said, hey, it's time to get him on the field and see what he can add to what we're doing. And he certainly did add to what we're doing today. He's a really good football player.
What do you think he adds to this defense?
Athleticism, speed. He's competitive. He's smart. He never makes a mistake in practice. He's just a true freshman as well. He's got a very bright future here. But he's got all the tools to be a very good defensive back in the going into the Big 12, finishing the Pac-12. Yeah.
Have you been putting more on Bryson's plate? It seems like he's getting more comfortable with what you're asking him to do.
You know, he's known the offense for some time now. I don't think that would be an accurate statement that we put more on his plate, but I think Andy's opening up the offense a little bit more. And so it's not necessarily he's learned more and he's assimilated more, but Andy's a little less close to the vest and trusting him more.
Jaquinda Jackson, did he re-injure that same ankle?
Same injury, yeah. That's, we'll see how he responds. He's a warrior, and he keeps coming back, but it just keeps recurring. They fell on the ankle when he dove into the end zone, and he's been battling that for essentially the whole season, and just trying to muster through it.
Looking for a tight end to step up. Landon obviously has done well. What have you seen from him that has allowed him to kind of now take that next step?
Yeah, Landon, the only thing that's keeping him from absolute greatness is getting bigger. He's still only about 220 pounds, so So he still needs to put some weight on that frame, but he lacks nothing as far as athleticism, hands, you know, route running ability, all that to be, but be a complete tight end. And he's working hard at it. You know, he's gained some weight since he's been here, but he's about 15, 20 pounds away from really having a chance to be a top tier tight end.
What specifically stands out about the defense? It's not every week that you hold a team under 100 yards.
Yeah, well, the front seven was outstanding. Back end was good, too. The completion percentage was way down. I think he was 5 for 20-something. And so we just played a complete game at all three levels, but it starts up front. You know, we got good pressure from the get-go. Had, I don't know how many sacks we had, but we had you know, some impact play sacks and got the interception. That was a nice interception by Miles Battle. But when the defense is clicking and in sync and not on our heels like we were last week, we're really good. And they were.
I know you like to keep things week to week. It's kind of your MO. But from a bigger picture standpoint, Pac-12 race still in play. How big is it to bounce back? Not only bounce back from last week, but resoundingly.
Yeah, it's big, and it was I'm proud of our guys, and you're right. Mathematically, you know, we have to have some help, obviously, but not much different than last year's scenario. You know, very similar, and so just got to keep at it and keep preparing every week the right way, which these guys will do. I'm confident of that. Coaches keep coaching them up, which we got a great staff, so don't have any fear that won't happen either. And then we just got to go out and play our game and make plays.
Had a great season with special teams. What kind of happened today?
Yeah, had a couple breakdowns today. The kickoff return obviously was a big downer, and have to watch the tape. I think somebody got double teamed, and we lost a guy that was an open lane, and we rotated the wrong way with a couple guys. And then on the punt, our gunners got hung up. Our gunners, we rely on those gunners, those outside guys, to go down and make the play. But the main thing wrong with that was it didn't have any hang time on the punt. It was like a 3-5 hang, and that's a recipe for disaster, a long punt with no hang time, and that's what it was. And Jack's been great for us all year long, but that was not one of his better punts.
Kyle, just to follow that up, without the benefit of film, anything else that you can nitpick on here immediately besides the special teams?
That I can pick on, like complain about? Yeah. What can I complain about, Mark? You got anything I can complain about? Pretty good day. So, yeah, we'll just leave it at that. But, it's all positive right now. Let's keep it positive. There you go. All right, thanks, guys.
There you go. There was Kyle Whittingham. With nothing to complain about in a 55-3 win over Arizona State. I think the only thing you complained about maybe a little bit was maybe the special teams was a little lacking as far as coverage anyways. But you heard him talk about it out there. But, hey, 55-3. I don't know what you want him to pick on about.
I don't think you can. I think he's also – listen, Kyle's gotten extreme – he's very wise. But he talked about this in the post game last week. He said, hey, you can't go berate your players, especially when you come off these – big-time losses. Adversity is where you see people's response. He said that's exactly when you need your leadership committee to stand up even stronger when you are getting hit in the mouth. And
the ultimate player's coach. The guy is – he takes responsibility for a 35-6, you know, loss, and there's plenty of blame to go around. But guess what? He's not gonna sell out anybody.
No, but I think this is where he's evolved over 15 years personally. I think if this was him 20 years ago or even 15 years ago, he'd take it personal. And now he's like, he realizes that he's never been happier with the program. I don't think he's ever been happier with the coaches because he actually has money and great coaches that can do the job that doesn't fall squarely on his shoulders. And Morgan runs the defense. Ludwig genuinely runs the offense. Andy put together a great script to kick off the game. I think you'd said this in the break. Bryson was 5 for 5 on the first drive to kind of set the tone. But if you look at the body of this game, show me another Utah team that held a Pac-12 team under 100 yards total, 1 for 15 on third downs, created turnovers, had one interception, 4 sacks, a complete game. Bryson Barnes has not thrown 4 touchdowns in a game. He threw 3 against SC and ran one in and threw a pick 6 in that game. So overall, the recipe for winning, he gave it to you. Get the running game established, play great defense, and the rest, and limit their rushing attack, and the rest will be history. Against Bruce Irving and Oregon, they couldn't shut him down. They couldn't slow him down. But every other rushing attack that they've seen that's been good, Scatabu was good. All these other folks have been good. And the Utah defense just held strong, and I am very, very, very excited. I'm going to go watch the SC game tonight to see how that pans out. But this game in Seattle is really going to – it's looking a lot more interesting as Utah goes on the road next week.
Absolutely. We'll break it down a little bit more next on the other side. You're also going to hear from post-game from the players. You're listening to the Ute Post-Game Show. Lloyd Cole, Christian Cox right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
All the reaction, the post-game interviews, and your phone calls. The Ute Post-Game Show, presented by Zions Bank, begins now on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Johnson.
Straw that's going to break the back right there. That's going to do it for Utah, even though they've been in control. That right there. Johnson running around the edge.
And welcome all back to the Ute Post Game Show. The Utes take down Arizona State 55-3. You heard that Nate Johnson run. By the way, if you're not listening to his interview that's on with JJ and Alex, it's unbelievable insight. You know, obviously he was getting a lot more playing time in during the start of the season, but you know what? Good to see him have a big run, 59-yard touchdown right there. And we're going to hear from the players here in a sec, but by the way, while we're getting ready to listen to those players, I mean, let's go over some of the stats of these players. I mean, you had Bryson Barnes, who had 4 passing touchdowns. Now let's look at the rushing. You had Jaquindon Jackson. He had 1 touchdown. Nate Johnson had 1 touchdown. You had Charlie Vincent with 1 touchdown. Devon Vailey had two touchdowns through the air. You had Landon King with 1 touchdown and Muneer McLean with a touchdown.
The McLean?
Oh, did I miss one? I missed one. You know what? No, I didn't.
The McLean touchdown.
Yeah, Muneer McLean. That was
the McLean touchdown.
That one over the top?
I haven't seen a jump ball or a deep fade like that in a long time. It's great that Andy... that we have someone that can do that. It looked like from the stands, oh, that's a pick. But he threw it. He threw it just high enough. It was honestly inch lower interception. It was the perfect height for him to go rip it out of the hands. But I think for the first time in a while, obviously the Sione Vaki touchdowns against SC were like yak touchdowns, if right. That makes sense. We haven't had big burning rushing touchdowns save the Florida game. Save against Baylor. It's been a while, but you saw a big 54-yard run from Jaquindon Jackson, a 58-yard run, the first run for Nate Johnson when he's back on the field. And then, like you said, McLean's jump ball touchdown in the corner, Devon Vailey getting 2 touchdowns, his first 2 touchdowns of the year. Finally, I think the offense, you know, is getting rolling, and an effective day for Bryson Barnes. What was he, 19 for 26 or whatever it may be?
19 for 28.
19 for 28. So, again, 60% or more. He is the guy.
You see this score, and you would think, my gosh, the guy must have thrown for 300 yards.
But this, I guess, what does this show us and teach us the novices about football?
Right.
To score 55 points, you have to play lights-out defense and – rush the ball and be effective in the red zone. So I think they were 4 for 5 on the red zone. They had a missed field goal, but they didn't turn the ball over.
And that came, by the way, because there was a personal foul that pushed them back. Yep. And or else they probably would have scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
Right.
And again, but if you look at the like advanced stats on it, right? They had 26 first downs. 13 of those were rushing. 11 of those were through the air. Bryson Barnes was effective with his feet. He was 5 for 5 from the first drive to set the tone. And then the defense just clamped down and got better and better and better and better and better. Again, when you hold a team under 100 yards total and you hold a team to 1 for 15 on third down, I could give you a stat sheet. Here's Florida, 1 for 14 or 2 for 14. Here's Baylor. They actually were like, oh, shoot, they're 3 for 14. Oh, let me give you a stat sheet against whoever it may be. It's all been under 20% or so on third down, and that's the recipe for elite defense and creating turnovers on the back end and getting sacks. And defense played great. You even heard Witt say, we're going to keep it positive. There's nothing to nitpick. I don't know what more you could go, hey, what could we take from this win? Could you play a little bit of special teams better? Sure, but this is as complete of a game and a win that you should be stoked about, considering Arizona State the last four games has been in weird competition with and got their first win against Washington State. They had UW on the road, dead to rights, genuinely. They were about to score to go up 14 to 6 and threw a pick six. So this sets up for a very fun practice week. It's a very good 7-2 football team at Utah. And it's been a tough season, and it just embodies what Utah is, that independent of the challenges, you still put your best foot forward. And this is a very neat, solid, balanced Utah team, and excited to see how they do against UW.
All right, let's hear from the players. You have Jonah Ellis, Bryson Barnes, Devon Vele, and Miles Battle, who had himself an interception. Here's them following this 55-3 win over Arizona State.
Bryson, you guys just kind of let it all out there on offense. What did it feel like just kind of get that many points today?
I mean, it's just great. You know, scoring points, that's what kind of the energy comes from on the offensive side of the ball. So if you ain't scoring points, there's going to be no energy. You know, it was good to get some energy out there today.
How important was it that you hit seven of your first eight passes to really get it rolling? And then how did that open up the run game?
Yeah, I guess I don't really keep track of that. You know, just trusting, that's kind of one thing that's kind of been a sticking point for me in the offense, is just the trust with the coaches and the game plan they've put in place. And so I'd attribute it to that.
Devon, first couple of touchdowns, how satisfying was it to get in the end zone twice and just make that kind of impact?
It's just credit to the game plan, just staying ready. I mean, that's all I can really do, just do preparation, just make sure I'm doing what I'm doing and executing what my number is called. So it's great to get in the end zone, but I'm just grateful we got the win.
Devon, Coach Witt was talking about maybe regretting last week not going a little more tempo like you guys ran late in the first half. It seemed like you guys started the game intentionally that way. How effective was that?
We practice it every single week. It's a situation in which I feel like we do well in, and we strive to continue to do well in, because especially in crunch time situations, it's good to be able to just get on the ball and just keep moving. So being able to utilize that and implement it into our regular game plan and just doing it any time, whether it's the beginning of the first quarter or it's 2 minutes left in the second quarter, like it's just good to see that the guys are always ready, and we've seen what can happen when we do get into that quick tempo offense.
For either of you, obviously it's, you know, a different opponent, but was there anything different about maybe the strategy this week and what made things so successful?
The strategy offensively?
Yeah.
No, it varies week to week. You know, not every defense is going to look the same, obviously, and so the game plan is going to vary. I mean, obviously we, you know, ran some plays with a little bit more tempo this week, and so that definitely kind of attributes to what we've been doing well throughout the season, kind of implementing that into right now. But scheme-wise, it's just about, you know, it's all about the players. It ain't about the plays.
Jonah, you guys hold them to under 100 yards. I mean, what was working so well for you guys today?
Honestly, we just kept it really simple. I think we play our best defense when we keep it simple and just do your assignment, and knowing that every other guy is going to do his assignment. It's just that trust factor that we've built together, and I think that's why we were so successful.
Miles, you finally get the pick after you got the first pick. I mean, how rewarding was that to kind of get it right back there?
You know, the first one, I took it, and I thought they was going to let me have it, but you know, they tried me again, and I was able to go and make a play. That was very satisfying. You know, they tried another one, and they caught up offensive pass interference. So just being able to get the play and make the play was very satisfying for me.
I just wondered where you when the first one came back.
I had a little bit of a feeling it might be called back from the jump, but, you know, you got to play. If the whistle doesn't blow, you got to keep playing. So when it did get called back, I wasn't too sad, but I knew they'd try it again, so I had to make the play, and I did.
Jonah, you're at 11.5 sacks on the season. I mean, I think it's the guys, Bradley and I. I mean, just what's kind of gone into your success this year?
Just the time and preparation that I put into it. I think I've spent a lot more time this year than I have in the past, and I've really just, like, locked into being the best I can be, and, that's probably what it is.
Right. As quarterback, I'll ask you this. Give us an idea of the preparation, the week of preparation. Go back to maybe practice Monday leading up to now, coming off of probably the worst loss anyone in that locker room's ever had, mm-hmm. and being able to bounce back like that. What was the week like?
Yeah, so I mean, starting with Weeks, you know, you really kind of Sunday getting a jump on Arizona State, you know, regardless of how the outcome happens on Saturday, you got to be able to put that in the rear view. And so coming in Monday, you know, kind of the talk that was around the facility was don't let a team beat you twice. And I feel like that really rang true through a lot of the players. That was able to kind of keep the mojo up and kind of regain our energy. You know, we got to get over this loss regardless of how bad it was. And because we got to go 1-0 this week. It didn't matter what happened last week. It was just a matter of getting over it. And so, I mean, the preparation, it's the same type of stuff every week. You just got to trust the process of the preparation that you put in each and every week. But, you know, not letting a team beat you twice was definitely kind of the mentality of the entire team.
Bryson, is there something you can say to your guys as a captain to try to keep the morale up, try to keep the mojo up going into the week after a loss like Oregon?
Yeah, I kind of just reiterated that, just telling them we can't get beat twice by the same team. And so just kind of keeping that energy and putting the loss behind you, whatever game it is, regardless if it's good or it's bad, you just got to be able to move on from it and just kind of keep rolling into the next week.
Bryson, you guys ran for over 350 yards today. What was the offensive line doing so effectively?
I mean, they were just alignment, assignment, technique. That's kind of just how it rolls up there up front. And, I mean, we got some bullies up there. And so it was just definitely good to kind of see us put up those type of running numbers. And, yeah, it's all O-Block. You know, running backs definitely making plays, but they ain't getting anywhere without O-Block pushing it up.
Bryson, how much more comfortable are you feeling? And how has the season developed for you under center?
Yeah, so, I mean, like, when you get comfortable – it's just game reps. Like, you can't reiterate what game reps are actually like. And so I feel like, you know, obviously the more game reps you get, the more comfortable you're going to be able to be and be able to play, and the more game plans you're kind of preparing for as well. You know, it's all a rep thing.
Miles, we saw a lot of Smith Snowden today. What have you seen from the youngster on that secondary so far?
He's really impressed me. You know, he looked comfortable out there. He was making some tackles, and he's been making a lot of plays in practice, especially this week and weeks before. So we knew he was ready. It was just a matter of time to get him in the game, and I think he did a great job today.
Devon, in addition to kind of the up-tempo that we were talking about, it seemed like the play calling was opened up a little bit more. We saw screen pass. We saw the reverse for money. Did it feel like you guys were kind of going into your bag a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a lot of offensive weapons in that locker room right now. It's just, you know, getting those play calls called and making sure we execute. There's a couple of times we would call it in the game and we'd have to check out of it because of a certain look or certain front that the defense is giving us. But we have a lot of weapons. I mean, we saw Munir McClain make an amazing catch in the end zone. Money, we know what he can do. Even Mikey Matthews. Like, we have a lot of dudes that can do some good stuff. So it's just one of those things, we just trust the game plan. And when our numbers call, we just got to make sure we execute. And I think that's what really showed up today for the offensive side of the ball.
As an older guy who's played a lot of high-level Power 5 football, is there something that you could have walked into the building on Monday with to offer your teammates in terms of not getting beat twice by the same team?
Yeah, you know, we play a lot of good teams. You know, stuff like that happens in college football. I mean, that's a really good team we played, but we're also a really good team. So you just got to bounce back. I know as a DB, the mentality I got to have is next play, next game. You know, you got to have a short-term memory. We look at the film as hard as it was to watch, but you got to lock in for the next game because there's another team that we just played that's actually really good. You know, they had a lot of close games within 7 points. So just being able to keep that focus and lock in even more. Just reiterate that to the whole team.
There you go. That was Jonah Ells, Bryson Barnes, Devon Vele, and Miles Battle. Talking about a huge win. So you know what? Always got to be, you tell me, Christian, that's got to be a good feeling coming after what just happened last week against Oregon and to come out and do what they did. It's got to be a good relieving feeling as a player.
I think it shows that, you know, we're actually pretty dang good, guys. I think that's what it means. I think it's, hey, we finally established the offensive style we want. We were kind of Frankensteining through the first six games. Oregon State wasn't Bryson Barnes starting. It was trying to have Nate Johnson be the guy. Nate's just not a thrower. Nate's really electric with the option game, and that's where you saw a touchdown against Florida the first game of the year. You saw him rip off a 58-yard touchdown, but today, Bryson Barnes was effective. He threw four touchdowns. They were effective in the red zone. I liked the McClain touchdown jump ball. I haven't seen a jump ball all year. That means they're really starting to get aggressive. And again, overall, the offensive line is who created these lanes. Bryson had time for days.
He was really good on the RPO. Like, there have been times during the season where he did not make the right read. And he made the right reads today.
Good call. He's really settled into the offense. He's running well with his feet. If you look at the last four games, save Oregon, let's just put it what it is. Let's take it and put it on the shelf. The offense has an identity. They've gotten over 500 yards the last, you know, four of the five games. SC, they did well. And so with the offense playing well and having a good defense and can shut down the run, that's why it makes to be a really solid game against UW, because Penix Jr. is a little bit nicked up. If you can limit him, and Arizona State did it. Arizona State didn't let him complete a touchdown pass. He had two interceptions against Arizona State, the same team we just played. And so can the defense shut down the run, and can you get some of this type of production? You won't get the same type of lift because it was a home game, but overall, I love the situation that Utah's in heading into next week. They're going to be probably a 7-point underdog. Everyone's going to pick UW to win. It's the perfect type of rat poison for UW because they think, oh, Utah's their record, but their coach is going to try to keep them in check. But overall, this defense is really, really physical. You get a healthy Jaquindon Jackson and the offensive line creating holes like this they did today, then they can be dangerous on the road. And that's how they got a win with Tyler Huntley and Zach Moss the last time up in Seattle.
We'll put a nice little bow on this game next. Again, Utah, they knock off Arizona State 55-3. You're listening to the Ute Post Game Show. Lloyd Cole, Christian Crox, right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
All the reaction, the post-game interviews, and your phone calls. The Ute Post-Game Show, presented by Zions Bank, begins now on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Final segment of the Ute Post-Game Show as the Utes take down Arizona State 55-3. Absolute domination. Lloyd Cole here with you, along with Christian Crox, former Ute defensive end. Final thoughts as we put a little bow on this, Christian. Final thoughts on this game as, got Washington next.
Yeah.
We can put this one away.
I don't know.
Big game coming up.
Is there a better song? I don't think so. I think today is a very special day
to
bounce back and win 55-3.
Jeremy, you cut it off on us too soon.
Listen, we could play this.
Christian didn't even get to give it a go use.
You could play it through the whole thing. Now we're talking. That's a solid bounce back. But overall, as you look at it, you know, it's a great day to be a Utah fan. I am still very confused. I've said this four or five times. How did Arizona State hang with Washington so close on the road?
Can we just say it's the Pac-12?
I don't want to say it's the Pac-12.
I know, but the Pac-12 things like this.
This is listen.
An anomaly.
The demise of the Pac-12 is the wrong year to blow it up, but overall, you know, Utah came out, controlled business. It sets up for a very fun punch out. You know, USC and Washington play
there
tonight.
It is for you.
Go Utes, right? So as you look at the matchup tonight, SC, UW's on the road against SC tonight. There's some good games with Bama and LSU, but we're going to watch this UW game. We want UW to win because I want them undefeated for Utah to go up there and take them out. Because I really do. This is not me being over optimistic.
And you don't think it's time for them to start racking up maybe at least get a loss? I mean, they're undefeated right now. You start to think, because Utah already has two in conference losses.
I guess that's true. I guess
so. I think either a loss for either team would be good.
Yeah. Well,
either way.
Utah would
USC
have
only has one loss in conference as well.
Yeah, but USC will probably lose. They could win out, I guess. Overall, I think Utah is coming together. It's a solid season thus far. You take the loss at home as Oregon is an anomaly, and should be a good finish here as you got UW, a tough game against Arizona, and then Colorado, and the season's over. So it's a 7-2 special statistical game. Utah put the hammer down in every statistical category.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to do it for us.